I'm Frank Vaughn. It's March 11th, 2025, and the main theme of this video is going to be how Ford is screwing Canada. But I just wanted to say a quick thank you to the community, because once again, we've had yet another number one video, and it's you guys that make it happen. I film them, but you, the user, are what give it value. So thank you very much. Moving on, it ends as it started. Everybody who isn't a public sector employee or sucking the government's tits somehow understands that this country has been under assault for the last 10 years. They've spent us into ruin. They've inflated our housing markets. They have unleashed a criminal wave on this country that has destroyed our peace and security. And they have opened the doors wide open to foreign takeover, turning us into a resource colony. And here he is. Tell me he is not openly mocking us. It wasn't enough that he robbed the treasury and robbed the taxpayer. He had to steal a chair too. How is this legal? Is it just because it's Trudeau he gets to steal his chair? And look at his face. Why in anyone's right mind would he do this other than to highlight the blackface? He doesn't care about you. Everything about this man is fake, and in 5 or 10 years, when he tries to reemerge from the cave he's about to be shoved down, we need to remember who he actually is. And speaking of liberals, let's dispense with the liberal leadership vote farce and make an observation. Chrystia Freeland could be forgiven for being quite angry at the display of a vote, which was actually a public relations exercise and a fundraising exercise, had no semblance of statistical reality. It is absolutely impossible. You could forgive her for being mad at the Liberals and Mark Carney, but instead she was one of the first on her feet to applaud his coronation, which means she was probably in on it the entire time, and it was just a fundraising gimmick. And on her way out the door, her campaign tweets the song, "Don't Want to Be an American Idiot," rubbing salt in an already wounded American relationship. This is bad diplomacy. One of the ways that I can infer that all the candidates were in on the scam is that even though Mark Carney captured between 80 and 90% of the vote uniformly across the country with no regional variance, that is impossible. A statistical impossibility. You got a better chance of flipping a quarter and hitting heads 100 times over. But Freeland and Gould and Bayless lost their own ridings by huge margins. These are people who raised a ton of money and were supposed to believe that they lost their ridings to Carney, garnering the same margins. It makes no sense. 250,000 people didn't vote. They had a 36% voter turnout. People complaining that they couldn't register or get through the security process, couldn't get a response by email. It's a farce, and that farce picked our prime minister, coronated him, selected him, installed him, a man who doesn't even live in Canada, a man who is absentee Canadian at best and has a reputation as an economic hitman. He's the guy that comes along and puts the nail in the coffin of nations and people. But we could sit here picking on Liberals and the NDP all day. I mean, that's easy, right? But let's talk about Doug Ford. Let's talk about conservatives across the country. Let's talk about the media first. The Toronto Star's front page. Trump trade war escalates. This framing is completely dishonest at this point. We have been granted two separate reprieves by the Trump administration. Donald Trump rails against Doug Ford's electricity retaliation move. It's not retaliatory. Not yet. The Americans haven't applied the promised tariffs just yet. They gave us a reprieve. And in the face of that reprieve, Doug Ford has largely ended our prospects of getting out of this thing diplomatically. You have to kind of picture this story of this unfolding quote-unquote trade war with the United States. Almost like a David and Goliath story, except the roles are completely inverted. David is bullying great big Goliath, and Goliath is just our most reliable trading partner, always ready with bags of cash to buy our stuff in excess of what we buy off of them. An indirect subsidy. Goliath, America, allows us to charge tariffs to protect our businesses, and we've been charging these tariffs for decades, and the Americans haven't really complained all that much. So there's two sets of tariffs, as I've said before. One has to do with the massive scale international criminal networks that are operating right here in Canada. And if you deny their existence, you're denying reality. Your own government admits it. Your own media admits it. I've covered it and given you the receipts in all of my other videos. This is 100% categorically lay it down. Don't even debate it. Proof. We are a criminal nation, a northern narco state. That's what we are. One set of tariffs is dealing with that. It's punitive because we've killed so many Americans with the fentanyl that we produce here and ship into their country. Just straight facts. The second set of tariffs are dealing with the trade imbalance. And this began as a gentle process where the Americans gave us reprieve. And in the middle of that reprieve, in the middle of nothing actually happening yet, Doug decided to charge 25% tax to 1.5 million Americans who are just trying to live their lives before the Americans have done anything. And he's proudly saying here, if the United States escalates, I will not hesitate to shut the electricity off completely. That's a crime against humanity, and it's an act of war. What are you doing, Doug? Like I say, when the epitaph for Canada is written, his name should be at the top as the person who did the most to kill it in this moment. This is wounding Goliath and rubbing salt in the wound and then cursing and casting aspersions at them. And meanwhile, China has slapped tariffs on our canola. They've slapped tariffs on various exports that we send to them. Nobody's saying that this is Xi's trade war. I haven't seen a single headline. I haven't seen comparisons to Winnie the Pooh. Because we talk about Donald Trump being Orange Man, but we don't talk about Xi being Winnie the Pooh. We don't talk about taking Chinese goods off of our store shelves or kicking them out of our resource industry or kicking their funding out of our universities. China's overrun this country. We've proven that on this channel as well. But you don't hear any kind of response. No hysterical response to them, but you do hear it to the United States, who, as of the time that Doug Ford announced his tax on electricity, hadn't done much of anything to us yet. So this isn't Trump's trade war. This isn't Trump's trade war escalating. Doug Ford's actions are not retaliatory because nothing had happened yet. So the media is lying to you immediately. And the excuse for lying to you that they're trying to use is that they are wrapping themselves in the flag and they're protecting Canada. The same people who have been destroying Canada for decades now want you to believe that their destructive policies are actually protecting it. I said it when he ran, that he was running under a banner of protecting Ontarian jobs, and he was actually going to be the guy who put Ontarians out of work, and this is how, and you gave him a mandate. Fantastic. Roaring Pussy makes a return to the show, and we're going to have to translate this so that it is family friendly. Doug Ford just screwed us. Literally, Trump has responded to the energy tariffs, and now the time for negotiations is gone. We have utter incompetence in charge of our well-being. I don't know if they're incompetent, Roaring. I really don't. I'm starting to wonder if what they actually desire is the dissolution of Canada, and this is how they're going to go about it. But they don't want the Americans to reap the rewards. They want China to reap the rewards. And that's why I say Canada has a choice. The World Economic Forum in China or the United States and continentalism. And I'm a continentalist all day. Now let's give President Trump his due. Donald J. Trump writes, despite the fact that Canada is charging the USA from 250% to 390% tariffs on many of our farm products, Ontario just announced a 25% surcharge on electricity of all things. And you're not even allowed to do that. Because our tariffs are reciprocal, we'll just get it all back on April 2nd. Canada is a tariff abuser and always has been, but the United States is not going to be subsidizing Canada any longer. We don't need your cars, we don't need your lumber, we don't need your energy, and very soon you will find that out. Drill, baby, drill. They're going to start producing. There will be a bumpy road for them, but we are just a little bump, and that's the thing you have to understand. Canada is a footnote for the United States. We're acting like we got all this clout and we're being hysterical. They can crush us. And you need to understand it. Our Western leaders more specifically need to understand it. Donald J. Trump again, based on Ontario, Canada placing a 25% tariff on electricity coming into the United States, I have instructed my Secretary of Commerce to add an additional 25% tariff to 50% on all steel and aluminum coming into Canada from, or coming into the United States from Canada. One of the highest tariffing nations anywhere in the world. It's true. We charge everybody tariffs. And then we have the audacity to get infuriated when they decide to charge us something back, and before they even level the tariffs, we decide to target them with a huge increase in their electricity rates, before they've even done anything, we decided to draw first blood. We deserve what's coming, and I hope he delivers. I really do, because Canada, you need to wake up, and the only thing that's going to wake you up is pain. For 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, since I started, wherever I've been, it's a blur. Since back in September, I've warned you step by step what was going to happen over the last 5 months, and I've hit it every single time. Well, now we have escaped velocity when it comes to the amount of pain that's coming. Tariffing nation anywhere in the world. This will go into effect tomorrow morning, March 12th. Also, Canada must immediately drop their anti-American farmer tariff of 250% to 390% on various U.S. dairy products, which has long been considered outrageous. One of the most powerful lobbies in this country is the dairy lobby, and they have preserved the Canadian There has to be some nuance here in the discussion, because the number of dairy farms in Canada has cratered by something like 80% since the cartel came into existence. So I'm not going to sit here and pretend there hasn't been a cost. Small producers are locked out of the market, etc. But they have successfully lobbied for their protection in Canada. And they have successfully applied these tariffs to the United States through subsequent trade negotiations and preserved themselves. In one fell stroke, Doug Ford screwed them all. The Americans are now calling for the lifting of those tariffs, and that means the end of the industry. Decades of protectionism undone by one move by Doug Ford. You have him to thank for the destruction of Canadian agriculture that will come if we continue down this road. And what is Doug Ford saying? He'll cut off energy supplies entirely, an act of war. The pain's coming. Doug Ford set it off. I will shortly be declaring a national emergency on electricity within the threatened area. So we already have a national emergency declared by the United States when it comes to drugs and the border and cartels. We've already had warning shots fired across our bow. There are clauses which I've covered. There are executive orders on file which I've covered. The Americans have all kinds of pretexts to intervene and deal with Canada in various ways. This will just create another one. This will allow the United States to quickly do what has to be done to alleviate this abusive threat from Canada. If other egregious long-time tariffs are not likewise dropped by Canada, I will substantially increase on April 2nd the tariffs on cars coming into the U.S., which will essentially permanently shut down the automobile manufacturing business in Canada. He's right. They have this power. Why is Doug Ford aggravating him? Under a banner of protecting Ontario, Doug Ford campaigned and won a supermajority, and I told you that everything they say is an inversion of their intent. He's going to bury the worker in Ontario. And then Mark Carney and Jagmeet Singh and their partners, whatever makeup it is, maybe we get an election, maybe we don't. But the universal basic income and the massive printing, which will completely destroy your purchasing power and your ability to feed your family, is going to be because of the actions of Canada, not the actions of the United States. He's been pretty gentle, and we just keep spitting in their eye. And now we've lost the ability to be diplomatic, and you can thank Doug Ford for that. And I don't want to just be critical of Doug Ford. Let's talk about Premier Smith and Premier Moe for a minute. My criticisms of them are lesser, but they're playing both sides of the fence. While they're both down in the United States doing the right thing, which is promoting our trade relationship, because the Americans pay for our prosperity by buying our products, whether it's potash, oil, or gas. And they granted, in this Trump trade war, they granted exemptions for those things, largely because of the diplomacy that the provinces are engaged in. But on the other hand, and here's an example, there are much more effective ways Alberta and Canada can work together. So she is separating the concept of Alberta and Canada. That's a good thing. But we're still playing both sides of the fence. We're still labeling the Americans as the bad guys. This concept that we can play both sides of the fence, that we can do the work with Canada and do the work with the Americans at the same time, it's coming to an end. We're going to have to make a choice. Doug Ford, Mr. Electricity, he's also talking about Ottawa assessing a tax on our exports, which will nuke our economy. They're more than happy to destroy Alberta and Saskatchewan. We can't let them. And if that means ignoring their legal, lawful order, as we did in Saskatchewan on the carbon tax, then that's what we need to do. Premier Moe, Premier Smith, you got to make a choice very soon as to whose benefit you're going to work in. Are you working for Alberta and Saskatchewan, or are you working for the Eastern elites? What are you doing? You got to make a choice. The choice is America. And now let's give Pierre his due. It's always so popular when I tell the truth about Pierre, but on this channel, we tell the truth.
You know, it's ironic.
That's what we do.
Mr. Carney is trying to distract from his many scandals and conflicts of interest, as well as his disastrous record as Justin Trudeau's economic advisor, by talking about Trump. He's the guy that sold out to Trump. 6 days after Donald Trump threatened Canada with tariffs to steal our jobs, Mark Carney announced to Brookfield shareholders that he would move his headquarters from Canada to New York. And when you asked him about it, he lied to your face. We got it in writing, and we proved it.
He's not even on the same page anymore. I don't know what happened to this guy. I don't know what happened to apple-eating Pierre. He's talking about some papers. We got some papers about Brookfield. He's not talking about the massive-scale criminal cartelism in this country. He, nor any other politician, is telling you that there's two sets of tariffs addressing two different things. But in all honesty, that talking point is now past tense. It doesn't matter anymore. Since what Doug Ford has done, it doesn't matter that the two tariffs are differentiated. You might as well throw them all together. We're now entering a trade war, not because of the United States, but because of what Canada has done before Trump even applied tariffs. We're hypocrites. He's not telling you about the trade relationship with China and the various tariffs that go back and forth there. And we're not reacting to China in the same way we're reacting to the Americans who hadn't even done anything yet. He's talking about Brookfield and paperwork. That's an important story, but there's a lot more going on here. He's playing Nerf ball. He's trying to appeal to the soft center. Scheer did the same thing. O'Toole did the same thing. They lost the election, and the conservative base loves to blame people like myself for pointing it out. I'm not a PPC guy. They suck. Bernier is just a check-cashing machine. He's created and monetized a certain segment of the population. He has no constitution. His members have no rights. They're just serfs. They behave like vile little children who need discipline online. It's never going to grow. It's never going to go anywhere. Every time I criticize this guy, they come. The hardcore CPC people come out and they're just like, oh, you're PPC. You can have a conversation about how Bernier sucks and how Pierre is losing the script and losing the plot, without bringing one or the other into the conversation. At the beginning of this segment, Pierre criticizes Mark Carney for talking about Trump as a means to distract away from Carney's corruption, his ties to Brookfield. Pierre's not telling you about Carney sitting on the board of the World Economic Forum. He's not telling you the history of Mark Carney. He's not calling him a globalist. He's not calling him out as an oligarchical technocrat. He's saying that he's using Trump to distract away from his relationship with Brookfield. Then Pierre, in the same breath, starts talking about Trump. He's doing the same thing that the liberals are doing. He's trying to appeal to Canada's ignorance as regards what's happening with the United States. Pierre could be using his platform to educate and inform. Instead, he's playing to your ignorance because he thinks the task of actually teaching Canadians the truth is too big. It would anger the media too much. It would anger the establishment too much. Folks, conservatives only win when they fight. You have to understand that the enemy's the enemy. They're a tool to be used. If you don't have enemies, you should make some. Why are we trying to pander to the center? Because you know what happens when conservatives pander to the center? They lose elections. And that's making a big assumption. The assumption being that we're going to have an election. If the Liberals feel that they can win and they can beat the Conservatives readily, they'd probably call one for the optics. But the fact is they don't need to. Tradition would have us have an election with an unelected, unseated Prime Minister. But there's no need for us to do it. Our parliamentary system is functioning the way it was designed. That's why it's junk. That's why the Westminster system is junk, because it delivered us to this. Right now, seated in Parliament, are Jagmeet Singh and his NDP. They have cratered in the polls. They may be wiped out. They may not have a single seat left by the time this is all done. And that's separate from the issue that something I haven't even talked about yet, is that for the first time in Canadian history, if they decide to hold an election and they want to guarantee the outcome, there might be an agreement between the NDP, the Greens, and the Liberals to not run candidates against each other in various ridings, guaranteeing that they'll beat the CPC anyway. So what is the Conservative Party doing? What kind of math, what kind of logic are they pursuing by waving some papers around about Brookfield instead of talking about the big issues? You got to fight. You got to fight to educate the public. By the way, if you don't like 338.com's politics, or you don't like some of the politics of Poland Canada, polywave.com, great website. It's superior. Check it out. If you get one thing out of this video, it should be the understanding that the time for diplomacy with the United States and having a negotiated settlement when it comes to trade is over. We're probably going to get killed now. We're probably going to get crushed. And that's because of the actions of Doug Ford, and it's because of the continuing insulting relationship, the continuing apoplexy and hysteria that we are engaging with the United States, which we're not applying to China. We're in a bad position. We don't hold the cards, and they are going to devastate our economy. So I hope you're ready for that. And people sometimes ask, what am I doing with this channel? What am I doing with my efforts? Why don't I run? Why don't I do this? Why don't I do that? I am a small fry trying to educate people. My audience, some between YouTube and Twitter or X, is about 1.1% of the Canadian population, 1 in 1,000. That's my subscriber base. I have to grow that first. I got to reach more people. We're growing every single day. Hundreds of followers and hundreds of subscribers are coming in every single day. So that's what we're doing. We have to build it first, and they're coming, but there's an overarching plan. We can do something pretty good here, but we have to have the platform first, which is what I'm trying to build. And you, the user, are what make it grow. I can't do it alone. I need every single one of you that watch. You people give an insane amount of your time over to my videos. It weighs on me every single day. I am hoping and praying that I am leading you in the right direction and I'm not wasting your time. And for those of you who do donate, I appreciate it. I do need more of them to keep this thing going and growing. I'm about the most efficient user of dollars you will ever imagine. I don't need fancy cars. I don't have drug habits. I barely drink. Had a couple drinks last night for the first time in 10 months. I got a fully stocked liquor cabinet because I don't drink it. I'm cheap, and I work really hard. So if you want to support me, go ahead. And if not, if you can't, that's fine too. That's why it's all provided for free. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.